This segment of the Avaya Podcast Network is sponsored by CashFly. Deliver content fast with CashFly. Visit CACHEFLY.com to learn more. This is the Avaya Podcast Network, APN. Technology, news, and information. All in one place. Welcome to this edition of E911 Talk with your host, Mark Fletcher, product line manager for emergency services at Avaya. Now, here's Fletch.
Hey, it's Fletch with the Avaya Podcast Network, and we're over here in Riga, Latvia. And we're speaking with Dr. Dieter Neusler, Firefighters Federation of Europe. Welcome, doctor.
Okay, welcome.
What exactly does your organization do?
That's a quite difficult question. So we are comprising 22 countries and the associations of professional firefighters. And what we want to provide is expertise to European bodies and organizations which work in the same aim, just to improve emergency response for the citizens, especially focused on Europe.
Now, in addition to firefighters, you also take care of medical in your organization, correct?
Some of us do, some are not. That's due to the organization differences throughout Europe. So we have countries where they have a state fire service separated from the ambulance service. Being German citizens, so we have the separation even in Germany. So in the northern part of Germany, the professional fire services are also responsible for ambulance, in the southern part not. So, and you find that throughout Europe, these type of differences.
When you have those various differences, does that change the communications requirements for the departments? Do you find that it's easier to work between departments when you're combined, or do you find it's a problem if they're separated?
Of course, you know, the information transfer, if you have different responsibilities for various services, for example, fire, police, and ambulance, and then you may have communication problems. In my part, for example, we have ambulance and fire together, so it's quite easy to respond in an appropriate manner. In many cases, if there's a fire or a major car accident, you have to work together on the spot. So this is the job. It's a little bit different when it comes to police. Police has different requirements. Police direct the incident in a different manner. They more rely on their control room, while we guide the incident much more on the spot. That's the main difference. So there's a certain tendency also because of financial issues to bring ambulance, I mean urgent medical response, more close to the fire service.
One of the things that I noticed in Europe that we have the luxury in the States, I've got a country border to the north in Canada and a country border to the south in Mexico, and that's fairly well defined. But over here in Europe, the member states in the EU are relatively small, and when you have an agency of any kind, you have a border and you have a line, and you could be 3 feet or a meter away from the incident, but it is not in your jurisdiction. Do you find that cross-border communications are problematic?
To some extent, yes, of course, because of different legal requirements, because of maybe linguistic problems. But on the other hand, if the guys at the border, if they take their job seriously, then they establish cooperation before it becomes formal. And this is what we did, for example, where I live. Aachen is situated in the border to Belgium and the Netherlands. Our city border is state border at the same time. So we are very much depending on cross-border cooperation, which is different, for example, for Berlin or capitals. So it is a challenge. But my experience is once the responders start to do something, after a while it becomes official. So then the politicians make a law or something, or an agreement or something. So it always starts, the successful approaches always starts bottom up.
Right. It's always easy to legislate a good idea.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
From a technology perspective, just with radio communications, let's take a simple. I've got two countries, potentially two different organizations that are managing frequency assignments. That's got to be problematic over here, right? Just because of RF spectrum is a limited space, and when you have borders to deal with, it's not always easy. How does that work out over here?
I could say next question, please. But so we had the development just to harmonize the trunk radio communication. But we had a development of two different standards throughout Europe, and this makes things even more complicated. But in my personal perspective, we would very much rely on voice communication on the spot in the case of an incident. This is not so important, it's my point of view, because you deploy your resources, you deploy a platoon, and they work as they would do that at home. What you need is liaison officers, which are multilingual, which could bridge the gap, which may exist. And training is relevant, that you understand the system, how it works in your neighbor country. Then it's okay. I think it's too much emphasis on this harmonized radio communication, which is very seldom really functional. We do not want everybody with a handheld radio running around on the spot. No, it should be strict organization. It's different than to handle a mobile phone.
And I think you mentioned it before, with a fire situation, it's localized command and control that really is more important as opposed to a centralized control room.
Yes, this is my opinion. On the other hand, the control rooms, the PSAP, they are called public safety answering points. They should communicate also. I found out in my region, because it's three languages region, that visual communication is the key. So you can grab up the information very easily. You can translate with machine the key words without having too much workload to communicate via voice. And if you have an incident in your own jurisdiction, you are blocked with all your own tasks. You always forget, or mostly forget, to inform your neighbors. But if you do that with a good link on the control room command and control programs, then you could overcome that problem. I trust that in the future there will be a much progress in that area.
So bridging the technology gap with old school rules and pen and paper sometimes, if it's applicable.
I think this is a must, you know. You have always to think the impossible to be professional. So, and the when you see what can happen, major incidents or a failure of the electrical supply, people then, in that moment, they trust on you, they trust on the service, and then you must work as well. And therefore, you have to train your staff to work also in old-fashioned manner. We did that regularly, once a month. So the computer went down, and we do that 1 hour with paper and pen.
Speaking with Dr. Dieter Neusler, who is the president of the Federation of European Union Fire Officer Associations. We're here at Emergency Services Emergency Workshop in Latvia. Thanks very much for sitting down with me today. Really appreciate it. Very fascinating topic and a lot of great information.
Okay, it was my pleasure.
Thanks.
You've been listening to the E911 Talk Podcast with your host, Mark Fletcher, product line manager for emergency services at Avaya. E911 Talk is a weekly podcast available on sites like this, as well as iTunes, and is available free of charge. If you have any comments or questions, you can email Fletch at FletcherM@Avaya.com. That's Fletcher, the letter M, at Avaya.com. Be sure to listen in next week for more informative topics on E911. This is the Avaya Podcast Network, APN.